From Mace 2014, Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to Rage Quit Radio, Almost Live.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Quit Radio, Almost Live here at Mace 2014. We are in Charlotte, North Carolina, and this is now day two of all the fun and shenanigans. We do have some early birds here who are getting in a few games. One of my favorites, James Lampson, who I haven't seen in who God knows when. Right now, I actually have the man who won our last chance qualifier yesterday, and in the form of Jonathan Lawler. Would you like to say hi?
Hello.
So, how many rounds did this tournament go? Because I missed most of it.
I ended up going four. There was the chance at three, but the play down ended up winning. So it ended up going four rounds.
All right. That sounds good. Now,
just remember, the reason Chris missed it is he was out drinking.
Now, hold on.
Doing a sloppy job.
Drinking? I was about to say, I think Walt, like, outdrank all of us and then still wanted more beer. I was about to say, if our server had actually been attentive, he probably would have drank that whole keg himself. Anyways, as fun as everything sounds, I would like to get your intake on the games you have played and how they went, who you played, what you played against. So we can start maybe with round one and work our way up.
Okay. I was playing Crix for my two factions, and my lists were Terminus 1 list, pretty normal Terminus 1 list, Terminus, Banes, Derek Wraith, Matty Corbeau, Minimum Biles, kind of all your basic stuff. My other was a Scar 1 list. Again, a lot of your, I guess less your basic stuff, I take all the Satixis. So I have a big Satixis list with Scar 1 and take her in there. However, I played Terminus every round of the tournament. So I didn't actually bother bringing my other caster because it was two list optional. So I only had to play the one. So the first game I actually played against Liam Piver. Now he was playing with someone else's army, someone else's red army. And it ended up being Kalissa versus Terminus, and we played Incursion. And essentially what it came down to was I put everything straight in the middle. As soon as one of the flags went away, I ran over to the other side, and Terminus kind of ended up sitting and camping on the flag the entire game. And even with Kalissa and Iris and all of them, they just couldn't take him out. He just had too much. He had too much armor the entire game for them to actually do anything to.
I can believe that.
I ended up winning that one five control points. The second game was I can't remember his name. It was Jeff. Okay. I played against Jeff, who actually ended up being the person who came in second. So I played against Jeff in that game. I played Terminus again, and it ended up being Terminus versus Kador, Sorcerer 1. And it was, I can't remember the scenario exactly, but it is the one where there's the central zone with two catty corner objectives.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the exact one. What is it?
It's Blind Demand.
So he did Supply and Demand, and essentially it came down to Terminus trying to take his whole army on at once and succeeding. Terminus probably killed a good 18 models by the end of that game by himself. And he camped the zone at 35 armor most of the game and was just unkillable.
That seems to be his thing, so...
It seems to work well for him.
Not unkillable.
Yeah, he's pretty unkillable at armor 35. Not all the way unkillable, but I've never lost him at that high.
Mage Hunter assassins love him.
Yeah, I've seen the Mage Hunter assassins before.
I've seen a Mage Hunter assassin one shot.
It could happen. I mean, it is a 7 to hit, and then it's dice minus 9, so you do have to spike pretty hard. But you can do it, certainly. Now, luckily, Derek Wraith helps with that because his isn't actually focus. So Derek Wraith makes him armor 20 essentially against the Mage Hunter Assassin. Then it's dice minus 11. And then it's really hard to spike him to death. Because you're looking for almost all 5s and 6s at that point in time.
Well, you're looking for almost all 5s and 6s.
True. That is true. And so it essentially came down to that. He ended up, the trick that came to that one was really making sure the feat for Sorsha either came in a time where I was already in a good winning position or came in a time where it couldn't catch enough. And yeah. he wanted to catch enough, and so he waited long enough that the game was kind of already in my hands by the time he finally feeded.
Okay.
And then it ended up with Sorsha going in and trying to kill Terminus, doing, I think, 3 or 4 damage points in total. Because it was one of the times where he was only like armor 26 or 28 or something like that. And then, he killed everything else except for Sorsha. And then I just ended the game holding the central zone because Sorsha couldn't actually contest me.
That's fair.
My third game was versus John. I can't remember his last name, but it was Trolls versus Crix. So I dropped Terminus again. And the Biles killed most of that army. Because I think the Biles got 9 of the 12 Fin Blades.
Ooh.
And then the Banes killed off the Pig Burrowers. And Tartarus managed to thresher like 4 Pig Burrowers, turn them into Banes, and send them into the Bomber, and that killed that one. And so it actually came down to Terminus holding one zone and the Banes holding the other zone, because he had a frenzying Warbeast in one zone that couldn't hold the zone. And he had his Warlock in the other zone, which couldn't contest the zone. And so he had Banes in both zones, but neither could hold them.
Oh, wow.
Because of what had occurred to them during the game. And so I won that one by 5 control points. And then my last game was with Alan. It ended up being Terminus versus Bradagus, which ended up being a decent drop for Bradagus simply because he had no living models for me to feed on.
Okay.
But his other list was Kruger 1, and I didn't want to drop my infantry list against that.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So I dropped Terminus, and it came down to him sending Bradagus in on a synergy chain of +4, but at dice -7, Bradagus just couldn't get it done. And then Terminus didn't even turn around and kill him, but he was in malediction range, and then the Banes walked in at -2 defense and +4 armor. The Banes put Bradagus to bed pretty easily.
So, you know, Bradagus being one of the newbies, you know, how'd you feel going against him?
Well, I had actually listened to a few podcasts that talked about him. And, in fact, this was pretty much the exact list I'd heard talked about before, or at least one very similar. Now, he played him in tier, so it got him the 2 Sentry Stones. It got to be full-on Fury.
Nice.
It got him 3 units of Shifting Stones, because you bring more Shifting Stones. And he brought, like, 5 World Watchers and the World Guardian, Bradagus. And I think that might have been it. And he did the... He essentially did, you know, the walk forward, stone form, free animus trick on the World Watchers. But between Malediction and the Banes, I could knock them down by 4 armor. And at armor 17, they just aren't unkillable enough.
No.
So I managed to get several of those guys down enough that the synergy chain couldn't get as high as he wanted it. And then once the synergy chain was kind of broken, he just couldn't kill my stuff. Especially Terminus.
I believe it. Although... I'm assuming if the synergy chain had been able to go off successfully, he might have had a shot.
Well, let's see. I had 11 hit points left after he sent Bradagus in. If he had gotten... Even... He would have needed to get three more on the synergy chain, basically, to finish me off.
Okay.
Just because he had to use, you know, he had to use the Fury to upkeep, and he had to use a Fury for something else to actually get there. To be able to get there and do what he needed to do, so he just didn't have enough attacks.
All right. That's fair. So, overall, how did you think this tournament went for you?
Oh, it was a good tournament. I mean, in a lot of cases, toughing Banes kind of tough when they need to, you know, how it'll happen sometimes. And
oh, of course.
Holding zones and everything. And Terminus, except maybe potentially in the Bradagus one, if he could spike his rolls up pretty high, was never really in any danger of ever dying.
I gotcha.
He kind of just let the armies bounce off him pretty much most of the tournament.
I guess that's one way to look at it. So, you know, rumor has it, you being the big winner and all, but...
Yeah, but I'm not actually going to play in the tournament today. I'm not going to play in the Mace Qualifier. Mostly that's because the Price Gangers here lost a person, so they kind of were looking for somebody else to do it, and two is... I got to play in it last year, and I did pretty well last year, so I don't feel like I really need to go and do it if I don't need to, and I didn't really particularly want to play in a high, you know, my weeks are stressful enough, I don't need to add stress on my weekends.
That's actually a fair way to look at that.
I mean, I'm in the classroom all week long, I don't need to, and students will test your stress levels like nothing else.
I believe that. I can believe that. I've done it before.
So Chris, you're telling us you're a bad student?
I've always been a bad student. I've never been a good student, ever.
See, whereas I was a good student and assumed other people would act that way, and I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So we all have our levels of where we're supposed to be as a student.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say I was a bad student in terms of grades. Just was a really good student towards my teachers.
As long as none of them strangled you, you got out all right.
Yep, pretty much. Well, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for your time.
Not a problem.
But real quick, though, yesterday I did talk with Empire Games. They did do a quick little game with I Drink What. Fantastic game. They plan on still doing more qualifying tournaments for the weekend before they give away the big chalice and the.
So they're doing a chalice for this tournament?
Well, their tournament for I Drink What is, they have the big wine glass as who used to be the big champion, and also a big old bottle of wine to go with it.
Have you ever seen the one they do for Scarab? If you go to Scarab, they give out a 64-ounce flask.
Yes, I saw that. I thought it was great.
I mean, you don't. It's not so much a flask for your pocket, but a flask for your book bag.
Book bag. Well, I also got a card here just to kind of give them their website, www.empiregamesusa.com for you to be able to check out their game, buy their game. They'll be doing purchases soon. I hear they're going to possibly be doing a Facebook page and some other stuff in the future.
I've played I Drink One. That's a good game, especially for a group of people that just want to play kind of a fun game. It's a really great game. Kill your friends, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? Actually, I lost in the first round because I knew where the poison was. We all did. And I decided, I'm going to shuffle things up. So I decided to go ahead and mix everything back together. I go, what are the odds? 1 out of 10 that I might have the poison. All right, you, drink. Flip my card over and I went, why is it always the black guy's got to die first? I mean,
at least it wasn't a horror movie. You would have died really horribly.
It's all good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have time for this moment. We'll be back to you real, real soon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Quit Radio on Pulse Live, May 2014. Your host, Chris Brown, as usual. And I'm actually here today with an actual host of Rage Quit Radio.
Dennis Lee. Haven't heard my voice in a while.
Indeed. Actually, we haven't even seen him in a long while, realistically. I must say, we're actually surprised he's here today. we're also joined by...
Evan.
Yes, Evan Wolfright is here, and we're actually... They have just started the Carolina Invitational, and right now, we seem to have a problem with the pairings, to be honest.
Everybody from the same city is playing somebody from the same city.
Like, no joke. It's kind of bad. Right now, let's see, what do we have? James Lamson versus Dan McCullen. We also have Brian Will versus Austin Bennett. Let's see. Pete Mace versus... All right, we'll try this again. We also have Pete Mace versus Anthony Vecine? What? Can't remember that last name. We have Ryan Taylor versus Steve McCall. Liam Piver versus Jeff S. Chris Gropp versus Nathan Starwalt. Dave Gildea versus Andrew Bailey.
Yes, we called your name, Dave.
Yes, we did. Calm down, Dave. Calm down, Dave.
Where the hell's your overalls, man?
Yeah, what happened to overalls head yesterday?
You gotta give people in the qualifier a chance, right?
I want to see some dice rolls I saw yesterday, man. I want to see that. We also have Tyler Barnett versus Joe Marion. And we also have John Farnell versus Robert Ficine, whatever it is. Basically, literally, this entire list has people facing each other from their own town or from their own backyard.
Yeah, they should have just played at home before they came here, and that would have been the first round.
Exactly.
personally, I think the games are going to go well, but it, to me, there's no challenge if I'm versing the same people I've versed every day.
No, actually, that's even more of a challenge.
Could it be?
Yeah, they know all your stuff, yeah. They
I guess
know
that makes
really
sense.
Well.
They're aware of all your shenanigans.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean,
but then again, at this level, everybody's aware of everybody's shenanigans anyway.
We should start bracket play, and next year you should have we should seed.
Like the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the more qualifiers you play and the more the points you get, we do like War Machine Weekend does. The more qualifiers you play and the more points you get, the higher your seed is.
But that involves math, and I don't like math.
You're Asian!
Science!
You are Asian!
But science is...
math.
We do biology, which is doesn't
no,
include as
no
much
math.
There's no math in biology?
Not as much math.
There's still math in
it. You realize there's lots of math in the game of War Machine, right?
No. They're just dice, and your opponent tells you what the numbers are.
No.
What? Right. Really, Dennis? You're
killing
me.
Here first. If you want to beat Dennis, just tell him all of his results are 3.
Yeah. What, 3 again?
Well, you know, since I have you here, Dennis, you did play Speed Machine. How'd that go for you?
The Speed Machine was fun. Let's see. We played 3 rounds, and everybody was half asleep and or drunk. So it was a very, very fun tournament.
Sounds good. What'd you end up playing?
So I played with... I played with Borka 2.
Okay.
And I took Borka 2 with Mulk, Mauler, and Earthborn, the holy trinity of trolls.
Interesting. I'm surprised you didn't play your Sons of Liberty list.
Well, it was in the car, and it was kind of far away, like about 10 feet out in the parking lot, so that was too far for me to walk to get my list.
That sounds about right. how'd your games go? Yeah, start with round 1.
So we went 3 rounds. I got 2nd place. I went 2-1.
Right.
The first round I played a nice man named Trevor. Trevor was playing... what was he playing? He was playing Menoth. And so he's playing Ephiora and 5 Crusaders. He was playing the spam list.
Okay.
Pretty cool. So first turn he came out, he ran all his dudes up. I ran all my dudes up, pop feet. He's like, what's your feet do? And I'm like, well, you hit me, you become stationary, and I have stealth. And he's like, wonderful. Sneeze.
Man, always sneezing, are we?
Yeah. And so I'm allergic to good players. So then the next turn I came up. He backed up, basically. Well, he didn't back up. He moved a little bit forward into the zone. And he didn't realize all the buffs that trolls can have. So I charged him with my Earthborn that was raged. And was hitting at P plus S 23.
Oh wow!
Against armor 19, so 2 hits and I scrapped his Crusader.
That sounds about right.
Then I had an enraged Mauler. It took 5 hits that time to scrap a Crusader. And then I had Mulk, who didn't need to be enraged. Another 5 hits. And another Crusader down. So now he has 2 Crusaders and Ephiora. Okay. On his turn, he runs his 2 remaining Crusaders up and feebly tries to kill 2 of my dudes, which nothing really happens. He runs Ephiora around. So the next turn, I kill... somehow I win by scenario. So I kill the objective. It's destruction. I kill the objective. I dominate on the scenario. On... my turn, he runs Fiora around some more to try and get an angle at Eborka, but it doesn't really help. And then I basically win on scenario because I score on his turn, score on my turn at the end.
So, I gotcha.
As Mike Brown would say, you win by scenario in Speed Machine, you're doing it wrong. Yes. Yes, Mike Brown, I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's all right. Mike Brown's not here, and I'm going to make Mike Brown jealous a little bit later when I have a special interview coming up in the future.
Oh, man, special interview.
Yes.
We'll have to see what that is.
Exactly. So how did the next rounds go?
Well,
for
the
you?
Next round, let's see, I played against Mercs. He had a Galleon, 2 Renegades, a Buccaneer, and what's his face? The Traitor, Magnus the Traitor. Magnus 1.
Magnus 1? Okay.
Yeah, so I run up feet again, and this time he's pretty smart. He's like, okay, well, I can't do anything to your dudes. I can't shoot them, and if I come close, they're going to countercharge me, so I'm just going to back up. So he backs up. I'm like, okay, I move forward. Then the next turn, he shoots me a little bit, right? But the second turn, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to destroy the objective and sit on here and dominate, so I get 3 points right away.
Yeah.
Then the next turn, he moves up, and he tries to do some damage to me. He goes for the assassination run. So he knocks down my line of dudes in the front, but I had lined them up so he can't drag me in with the galleon.
Gotcha.
So he knocks me down, gets some line of sight, and just goes for the assassination. He brings Orca 2 down to 2 points of life. And then with Magnus's feet, he runs his two renegades and his buccaneer into the zone. And I'm like, okay. Next turn, I say, okay, well, I'm just going to enrage everybody, kill all your dudes, and he had Magnus in the corner of the zone, right? So I'm like, I'm not going to go after Magnus, I'm just going to kill all the shit in the zone. I score 2 points, and he's like, wait a minute, Magnus is in the zone. I'm like, Magnus doesn't contest.
Not anymore.
So, win by scenario, and again, Mike Brown, I did it wrong. Again.
Alright. It's all right, Mike. He'll get it right, hopefully.
All right, so the last turn, I do get it right because I get my ass killed. So we did the same thing, run up, feet. He can't really do anything to me that turn, but he's really smart. I played Lawson. Lawson, he's just playing circle. And Lawson runs his two tiny little rock dudes up that you can't kill because they're really annoying. They have stone form.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he runs those two little dudes up, and he holds the zone with those two, and he has that knockdown dude.
Yeah.
What's his face? I don't know.
The World...
World Guardian?
Warden.
World Warden. And then,
Ram Hands.
Yeah, Ram Hands. And then
guy. That's the Guardian.
The other guy with the Geomancy.
That's the other one. I was even confused.
Yeah. Okay, so he had all the stone guys, and he had Bradigan as his...
Bradigan's pretty good.
Was he running the tier?
I don't know if he was running the tier.
Road War?
Yeah.
Road War 1?
Yeah. Maybe. I have no idea.
I hope they release another tier called the World War 2.
World War 3.
World War 4.
The World War to end all world wars.
That's World War 1.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Well, anyway, I had no idea what Bradigan did, so I just did my thing. And he feeded, so he moved... I believe Bradigan, he just moves things, like his own army, 5 inches wherever he wants, again, toward whatever board edge. I think that's how it works.
Yep.
So he moved them 5 inches, and he killed all my beasts, and they moved them back. And then so I did have a line to Bradigan, so I charged Bradigan with Eborka, and I made a major mistake. I forgot about impact attacks, and I forgot about assault. So I had 5 Fury on him. I charged him, and he had 3 Fury on Bradigan. I got Bradigan down to, like, I don't know, 5 points of damage, and then he didn't die. But he had taken care of all of the transfers. If I had used my impact attack and my assault, I probably would have killed him, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't kill him, so then he killed me. It was a really fun game. It was a lot of maneuvering, so...
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, a lot of these new casters that popped up, the new book, you know, I've seen a couple of them. I haven't seen Bradigan in, you know, actual play yet, but I hear a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
He does pretty good.
He seems good. He seems like a good caster.
So far, I still kind of want... I still want to see Jaga Jaga on the table, still want to see Helga on the table.
Helga's not out yet.
She will be soon, but
she comes out like week after next.
I can't wait till we have the pig roller thing.
Meat thresher?
The meat thresher? Roller. Yeah, the meat thresher. The meat thresher and the sacral vault to me were the two best like battle engines I've seen so far.
The meat thresher is the best battle engine out there.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, trolls can take it. It's awesome.
I know.
Because that's the reason Mike Brown's getting into trolls. Just for the meat thresher. Not for the highwaymen.
Gunbjorn and the meat thresher.
Yeah, the Gunbjorn, all the highwaymen, and the meat thresher. That's why he's going for it.
You need your E-Ferret scouts.
Yeah. Those guys are nice, too. Those guys are nice.
I'm sorry, but Trolls got a decent amount this last book. Yeah. I thought were pretty cool.
Yeah.
Scorn did, too, and I was like, Jesus Christ, Scorn got an ass load of good stuff.
Yeah, but as you guys mentioned in the last couple podcasts, it was Minions that won Exigence.
If Minions won, they helped everyone else win? No. Minions didn't win Exigence.
They got all the good stuff.
Scorn
got a lot of good stuff, but Minions got a lot of good stuff.
Minions won in the fact that all of the stuff that Minions got that is good, other people can take, and other people run it better than Minions.
That's why Minions
won. Actually, fair enough. That's fair.
Not really, no.
No, they won, which helps Trolls, so they won.
That's not how it works.
Why not?
Either way, for a faction to win, the stuff has to help that faction, not help.
It does help that faction.
Other people's faction be better.
Come on, the Sakura Bolt is fantastic.
It is.
But then by definition,
it's better in Circle.
But by definition, Minions and Trolls can never. Not Minions and Trolls. Minions and Mercenaries should never win.
They don't.
They always help everybody else.
Minions and Mercenaries never win.
Yes, they do.
They might win games, but they don't win books.
I reject your logic.
Oh my gosh. Terrible. Well, what do you think, Evan? I mean, besides your honest opinion about who won what book, I mean.
What do I think about what?
I mean, you've been to Maze for, an hour?
It's like any other small con. This one's packed into a maze of the lower level of a hotel. It seems pretty good. It's a pretty solid turnout. It'll be interesting to see how it goes down.
A lot of good starts on a lot of these matches going on. Unfortunately, I can't see our other Rage Crit Radio member, Nathan, at the moment, see how he's doing.
Nathan's hair is in the same position it was at the beginning of the game, so it can't be going that bad.
Wait, he had hair?
Damn.
I'm just saying. Evan, go check on him, see how he's doing.
All right, Evan's doing the run for us.
So on an off topic, I had just purchased a deck building game. It's similar to, if Mike Brown's listening, to your DC and your Street Fighter game. I went and picked up the Naruto one. I actually think it works really well with some of the other games. It's just that the mechanic of chakra kind of adds a different element to it. And since the only characters that actually have the ability to use chakra is the Naruto character, so if we actually combine all the games we got, well, you know,
like you'd have a battle royale, like Ryu versus Sasuke.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, cool. Unfortunately, in this game, Sasuke's actually one of the bad guys. That's actually something about this set that actually bugs me a little bit.
Well, he was a bad guy for like most of the manga.
He is. Well, the thing about it is, you know, after finishing 700 chapters of Naruto, you know, and we kind of get to see where Sasuke really was more of the anti-hero than he really was, in a sense, bad guy towards the end. It's like, damn, I was hoping to, you know, see him as a hero card more than the arch enemy. But I guess since most of the series, he is pretty much the enemy.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that the time period where they have this card game,
yeah,
he actually is a bad guy.
Fair enough. Because he doesn't actually go into anti-hero to hero mode until pretty much the very end.
This is the beginning.
Spoiler alert, by the way, if you guys have not read those chapters, my bad.
Wait, Naruto dies?
Just kidding, folks. Speaking of Naruto, the one thing that got me in Naruto was at the very end of the 700th chapter, when we see, like I said, spoiler alert, when we see Naruto become the Hokage, they have his face on the stone wall, and on the very top of his head, they have the Straw Hat mark from One Piece on top of his head painted on.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's very funny if you actually pay attention.
I didn't see that.
I read the chapter for One Piece right after that, chapter 766, and as a tribute to Naruto's final chapters, instead of the regular O at the beginning of One Piece, he puts the Leaf Village symbol on there.
Oh, really?
And the picture is Naruto eating ramen at ramen in the Leaf Village. It's hilarious. I was like, okay, obviously these guys are friends. They give a tribute. It was kind of like,
awesome.
You know. I was like, that was great. So
it looks like Evan has gotten distracted.
Yeah, I can
and
tell.
Is not coming back to the podcast.
Evan! What's going on over there? Come on!
What the hell, man? Do your job. Oh, no, he got distracted again.
God damn it. I'm just trying to figure out how our boy Nate's doing.
All right.
On his first round. God damn it, Evan.
God. All right. Pick a direction to walk and walk toward us. Yes.
Yes,
there we
I
go.
Don't care.
There we go.
Okay. He's getting there.
He's coming.
Right. Just remember, folks, this is almost live. None of this is really going to be edited. There's a lot of background noise because there's a ton of people in this room playing different games.
So, how is our boy
How's
Nate
our boy doing,
Yvonne?
I can officially report that all of the people have moved for turn one. That's it.
They moved for turn one. I repeat. Things have moved.
Models have moved between 6 and 14 inches down the board in a forward towards one another fashion. Some people have prayed. That's it.
Prayed. Like as in praying to God?
As in both war spirit units prayed Imperatus. So that's all that's happened.
So what you're telling me is for 19 minutes we were sitting there talking. That's all as far as we got.
Yes.
Awesome.
Wow, these guys are slow.
No dice have been yet rolled.
That's so inaccurate.
No.
They rolled for turn.
Fair point.
Well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we have a lot of background noise because we got, you know, the invitation going on, two sets of tables. We got level 7 next to us, which Brian Cape is amazingly playing a fantastic game and all that stuff.
Oh, yes.
And
Evan and I will attempt to play 75 games in one day.
I would actually love to see that. But, so for
we're going to win all the mystery bags.
Every mystery bag.
All of them.
So there you go.
35 points apiece.
Wow.
We're going to play 75 150-point games in 24 hours. All right. First turn. I run forward. Turn around. Drop all my fury. Damn, you won this one. Again. I don't understand.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Oh, my God.
Why am I so bad at this game?
But I'm so close to you.
I don't understand. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close it out, but at least for now. We'll be back a little bit later on with hopefully some interviews from some of the vendors. And later tonight, hopefully get the top 3 Invitational players and their point of view on how the Invitational went for them. So any last words from y'all?
Hopefully nobody gets pissed while they're playing.
Spay and neuter your pets.
Don't worry, Fish is not playing, so he will not be rage quitting anytime soon again. So, I just found out he actually got back into the game, so we're good to go.
He what?
That's it.
He's not playing the 50 other games that he was?
No.
That's Richard.
That's Richard.
Oh, Richard.
Richard plays all the other games around the world.
Okay.
So, all right. Till next time, we'll see you later on today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Crit Radio Almost Lives at Mace 2014. And your host once again, Chris Brown, is here with a special guest of mine from your local game store. Okay, I knew I was going to screw this up. Sorry, folks, this is Almost Live. Tim Burgess. And I'm going to let him have the floor just to kind of talk about his store and maybe a little bit of his experience here at Mace so far.
Sure.
So go ahead.
So as I said, we're from your local game store, which is down in Matthews, North Carolina. It's about a 30-minute drive south of where we are now at the con. And it's been a blast. This is our first time actually presenting a booth at the con. and it's gone quite well. We've had a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of people running around having a good time.
Sounds good. Has this convention actually met your expectations? Exceeded it? You know, how would you?
Well, yesterday, Friday, it was a little bit slower than I expected, but people were telling me that it picked up on Saturday, and so far that's definitely true.
Okay.
It's only been a couple hours, and we've already met what we sold yesterday and then some, so it's been great.
So sounds good. I mean, what do you got? It looks like you got a few board games, X-Wing, looks like Star Trek Attack Wing.
We brought a little bit of everything. We have some War Machine, X-Wing, a bunch of board games, including some harder to find ones like Doomtown.
Is that really an R2-D2 for sale?
That is an R2-D2. Yeah, and he actually has voice activation, so you can ask him, like, do you remember Darth Vader? And he'll freak out and say, yeah. And,
oh, wow. That's so, amazing. Yeah. So, I'm glad you've take some time to be able to speak out or anything. Anything you want to tell, local War Machine players or gamers in general?
Absolutely. Come check out our website. It's yourlocalgamestore.com. We have an events calendar. We do tournaments for almost every game out there. If you don't see something up there, then let us know and we'll set up an event for you. So please, come to the website. Come to the store.
Well, there you guys have it. That's pretty much all she wrote. I mean, it's good stuff. Thank you, Tim, for your time and everything.
Not a problem. Thank you.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, that was Rage Quit Radio Almost Live, so we'll be with you real soon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rage Quit Radio Almost Live at Mace 2014. And once again, Mike Brown, I actually have an interview with somebody who you would deeply enjoy talking to. It is Jody Black, and representing Savage Worlds. Anything new in the world?
Yeah, we got a lot going on. We've added on some extra staff, and we've got some extra freelancers, so we're really cranking out the products. We just released the Hell on Earth Companion and the plot point campaign called The Worm's Turn. So it can, that way they kept them separate. That way, if you just want the extra rules for how to play a arcane background librarian, which we're calling the Bookworm.
Okay.
So you can draw basically powers from your books that you're carrying, or you can play a witch and have that Whately blood in you and get some pretty powerful spells that way. And then not an arcane background, but still in that book are all the rules for the cyborgs.
Okay.
So we have one book just for the rules, and then one book just for the scenarios. So no Savage Tales in the plot, in the Hell on Earth Companion.
Okay.
So that just came out in PDF, and it'll be in print in about 5 months.
Okay.
And coming out in print soon, we have East Texas University, which will go to the backers probably in December and out in retail in January. And we have other stuff lined up to come out pretty soon. We have Stone in a Hard Place for Deadlands Reloaded. And then there's a bunch of stuff on the docket. We just finished up a Kickstarter for Last Parsec. So that's three books that the backers are going to see in PDF form by the end of the month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have...
Y'all were busy within 5 months this last time.
It has been. It's been pretty crazy. But a lot of fun.
So, how's Mace going for you?
Oh, it's good. It's always busy. This is our favorite convention, like, hands down. And when I say ours, I mean Clint and I. This is, usually we come here to celebrate our anniversary.
Okay.
We actually got married pretty much the year that they started.
So, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, after that, so we've been coming here every year since to celebrate our anniversary, because what's a better geek way to do that, right?
I agree.
We started off going to bed and breakfasts like normal people, but then we decided we were not normal. And we would much rather be gaming.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Now, just a curiosity, the East Texas University, what's that about? That sounded interesting.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's a modern-day horror game.
Okay.
It takes place in Pine Box, Texas, and it's using our licensee called 12 to Midnight setting called, East Texas. And it's going to be taking place just on the university campus. So it's got the rules in there for, are you going to party hard or are you going to pass your exams? You actually have a new derived statistic called academics, and you have to keep your grades up or else you get kicked out of college. And, of course, you've got all of that college stuff going on, but you also have to be fighting the supernatural, and the plot point campaign is really cool. It takes you into horrors that are new and old, and
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was like, that sounds interesting. I was like, that sounds amusing.
It's a little bit Scooby-Doo and a little bit Lovecraft, you know? And so
I did play your Scooby-Doo campaign at Dragon Con.
Not a campaign, that's a homebrew game that Clint did.
I understand, but it's... I was out there, and there was just some moments where we sat at each other and said, "This is Scooby Doo. Why aren't we doing what Scooby Doo would have done?" I'm like, "Come on!" I was like, "Oh, let's think outside the box, people. Let's do this."
That's right. I'm glad to hear you had fun with that. Clint had a lot of fun putting it together.
I'm glad he did, because that was actually really amusing.
So do you want to know about his game that he's running this con that's fun?
What's up?
I mean, of course, all the games he runs are fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, but he decided to do a Savage Dungeons & Dragons cartoon. So you are playing... So you're playing the characters who have now decided to stay in the world of D&D because they're needed there. And it's about 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
And there's a lot of secret relationships that are going on behind the scenes that are part of your character background that you get and what you know about the other people and what they don't know about you. And
that's amusing, actually.
Yeah. And he's really, I mean, he found just some fantastic art. There's a big fan following in South America for the D&D cartoon and imagining them 10 years later.
Yeah.
So he just found some fantastic art from those people. And it's just, the people last night had a fantastic time, and he's running it right now. So you might be able to get some after-action report if you go snag him.
Do you know which room he is? Probably
no,
not
I figure it. We can figure it out.
All right, we'll figure it out later. But unless you have any closing comments, this has been pretty, great experience.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Well, Savage Worlds is doing great. You know, we've been around for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary.
Okay. Congratulations.
And, thank you. And it's just really picking up steam right now. It's never been a better time to try it.
That sounds good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here from Jody Black. I'm Chris Brown for... What the... Let's see. Hold on a second.
Sorry. It's just I'm with Pinnacle Entertainment Group.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. She is with Pinnacle Entertainment Group. I got to make sure that is correct. She should have corrected me a long time ago.
That's all right. For Savage Worlds.
See, all I know is Savage Worlds. I don't think about anything else. I'm terrible at this. Sorry, Mike Brown. I've ruined your experience.
Tell him he needs to just come here and experience it for himself.
I agree. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Chris Brown. That was Jody Black. We'll be with you in just a few more moments.
You've been listening to Rage Quit Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/RQR podcast. You can visit us online at ragequitradio.blogspot.com. Listen to us on Podomatic at ragequitradio.podomatic.com or find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can email us at ragequitradiopodcast@gmail.com.